Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
He's Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Morse right now.
Dr. Kevin Most. My brother Mickey calls me every morning. First thing he said to me this morning, Doc, is I talked to Kevin last night.
He's a great guy. I enjoy talking to him.
All right, so Doc, I've got a stiff neck. I slept funny. It never sounds right saying I slept funny because there's nothing funny about
it. What makes it funny? Right.
And Mary Vandeveld got me pulling on my head in one direction or the other. Have you got anything more medical than that?
No, actually, Mary's very good at that because people that get something called torticollis or a muscle spasm in their neck, one of the ways that we treat it is by things called muscle energy techniques where we have you push against a hand in the opposite direction, and that the body's not smart enough to keep all those muscles contracting, and it actually makes the other one relax. So hopefully Mary knows what she's doing.
Should I have my hand on the side that hurts or the other side?
Well, we do both ways, but the way you can't turn, so if you can't turn to the right, we'll say, right?
Yep.
So you put your hand on the left side and you push against that. So you're trying to push against the way that you can't go.
By the way, if you're streaming, watch this.
Yeah. And then when you stop, and you really have to trust the person if you're pushing against someone else's hand. And then you should be able to turn it probably an inch or two further. If you do that three or four times, you should be able to turn it about 4 or 5 inches further
to not have
discomfort.
I'm looking at him, and I don't think he's doing it right. I offered to whack him in the knee so that he would forget all about the neck pain, but he didn't take
it. That works well, too. Yeah.
And what's the deal? It seems like everybody I know now has this shoulder-to-neck constant pain. Is it all because of the computers and everything else? It's constant. Everybody I know.
Yeah. It's carrying computer bags now. You know, you think, oh, they're getting lighter. They really aren't. Backpacks at this time of the year, as well as stress, to be honest with you. People are sitting at their computer screens for longer periods of time without getting and moving. Their body's in one position, and then they go and carry their briefcase home. So they wonder why they have neck pain.
Dr. Most, you and I have talked for many, many years about the relationship between the doctor and the patient, and I vividly remember when you were taking on management roles that you caused you to have less time with patients. That's one of the things you really missed.
I do.
So is that where we're headed? Where, you know, there's another memory that sticks out in my mind. My mother had surgery, and I remember the doctor who did the surgery was in the hospital, but we had to go into a room as a family and take a phone call from him to tell us how the surgery went. Is that where we're headed, the long-distance stuff, the not face-to-face contact stuff anymore?
Absolutely. You know, in some parts of the country, that's important. You know, when you talked last week about you following the advice of your doctor, my comment was, you know, that might be changing because in some parts of the country, about 50%, maybe even closer to 60% of the counties in this country don't have a single psychiatrist, but yet have psychiatric needs. So the ability to use telehealth, whether it's through Skyping, whether it's through phone calls, but the big thing is going to be getting care to people who can't have the ability to get that care because of a lack of resources.
So the telehealth and telemedicine thing I get, but is this also in some way to facilitate the doctor's day?
Yeah, in some ways it definitely is. Teleradiology is a perfect example. Instead of a radiologist driving to four different hospitals, why not send all the images to one hospital? The doctor is much more efficient now, and you can allow for experts to see it. Teleradiology is a perfect example. Teledermatology is a perfect example where, you know, I'm not the best expert in this form of skin cancer, but all I really need to do is have those images, and I can send them all the way down to MD Anderson in Texas and have a dermopathologist look at those to say, oh, yeah, that is what this is. I've seen millions of these cases.
You know, Dave, you've been very diligent about taking care of your skin after a skin cancer scare. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that make you nervous? I mean, do you need the contact or don't you?
I guess there is something reassuring about being in the room with the doctor and having he or she look at whatever the issue is and say, yeah, this is okay, or here's what we should do.
Suppose it's sending him a Polaroid.
Yeah, but I guess, Doc, I mean, if I was in a situation where I really I wanted to make sure I had the absolute best care and maybe I didn't have any other means available to me, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. And Dave, I think we are. We're spoiled here in Chicago. We're spoiled in this area where you go, what do you mean? I can see a dermatologist next week, or I can see a neurologist, you know, today. We're very spoiled, but there's many parts of this country that aren't. But you do lose that patient-physician relationship where you feel comfortable walking in the room and seeing Dr. Jones walk in that room because he knows you. He knows your family. He knows your history. You feel comfortable to talk to him. You feel comfortable asking him questions. Now, when it's over a computer screen or an iPad, it's like, wait, I don't know this guy. I don't trust him. I'm not sure who he is. And yet everyone's telling me he's the expert.
In a patient's records, do you have notes about whether or not they need more time? You know what I'm saying? Like in my record, would there be something that said Steve's a talker?
Very difficult, you know, patient.
He's going to need a few more minutes. Does
Lots
that go
of
on?
Hand-holding yeah. required.
Oh, absolutely.
Weeping and rocking.
There's many doctors who say, you know, when Steve Cochran is coming, it's not a 15-minute visit, it's a 30-minute visit. And they do that for two reasons. One, they know you, and they know that's going to happen, but it's also out of courtesy to the other patients. Because if they kept it on their normal schedule, now everybody gets pushed back. So if they can look and say, I know this individual is going to ask me a bunch of questions and bring in a bunch of things and ask me that, I don't want a 15-minute appointment with them, I want a 30-minute. So that the guy who's at the next appointment isn't sitting there going, why am I late? Why is the doctor disrespecting my time?
I totally get it if you're living in a remote part of the country where there isn't a specialist available to see you, but I still take pause in having someone tell me bad news over the computer or the iPad. I think that...
So you want people texting you that you're dying?
Yeah, that would be a little... I think that part is hard, because then you have the ability to gauge body language and, you know, maybe the doc to give you a hug or something. I don't know.
Absolutely, G. This should be used for routine care, not for those discussions. Before you joined the show, G, I was down and we did a Facebook Live, and I brought a lot of equipment now that is going to be used for distal help or distal telehealth, you know, so that a layperson can actually do a routine exam on their child or on their loved one and send that information to the doctor. Those are the things that are going to make it more efficient for the patient as well as the doctor. Now, when you get to say, whoa, I don't like the way that looks that you sent me, I want you to come in, and then you have that face-to-face discussion, because that's important to make sure that the individual understands everything and what is going to happen to them, and allows them the ability to ask a question, allows the ability to hold a hand in comfort. That's very important. We can never lose that.
How much can Alexa do? We'll talk about that coming up in a second. If Alexa can get to a point where they can check you for a hernia, is that a bad thing? Steve, turn your head and cough. It's Dr. Kevin Most. All right, Doc, so we're talking about telemedicine. We're talking about how the world of medicine and the relationship between doctors and patients is changing, at least on a face-to-face basis. What's Alexa going to do to me or for me?
Yeah, you know, Alexa's listening to us all the time. So Alexa can do a couple things, and we'll be taught more as we advance. But they've shown, the researchers have taught some Alexas how to listen for breathing patterns. So they'll listen and they'll go, well, that is a breathing pattern we don't like. That's a breathing pattern, easy for you to say, that can be signs of a heart attack, or that is an asthma attack. So it can actually identify things and can actually potentially in the future call 911 for you.
The amount of sensitive listening that would have to go on is incredible. And you don't have to say, Alexa, like, Alexa, I'm having a heart attack?
Correct. Alexa's always listening to you. So you think about how far away you are sometimes when you say something to it. The microphones in there are amazing. So if you're standing next to it, you know, they are going to be able to listen to your breathing pattern. They're also going to be able to hear what you're saying as far as describing symptoms in a 911 call that will identify heart attacks faster.
You think Jeff Bezos is sitting around with some sort of CB monitor just clicking around the world, listening to people laughing?
I mean, this is just the beginning. This is how robots take over the world. I'm just warning all of you.
Wow.
The other night, I couldn't find my phone, and I told my wife, I can't find my phone. Alexa then asks, would you like me to call your phone?
Whoa.
Wow.
I'm telling you. Creepy.
Yes.
Wow. All right, Doc, what about crowdsourcing?
Yeah, crowdsourcing is an interesting thing as well. You know, we talk about mainstream media and we think about Facebook and Instagram and things like that. But what we're looking at for crowdsourcing is saying, if we get a lot of people, it's the concept of big data. If we get a lot of people that can listen and discuss a case, isn't it better off than just a one-on-one discussion? So in medicine, we do have a couple of those groups. We have CrowdMed, we have CIRMO. Those are a couple where actually you bring difficult cases forward and you're linked up to a whole bunch of different doctors to discuss the case, to say, have you thought of this? Look at this. So if you're seeing a patient that you haven't seen before or seeing a condition you haven't seen before, now you have the wisdom of all these individuals. The part that's getting a little crazy, though, is when we're going into regular TV shows that are now thinking about doing this or are doing this.
Like Chasing the Cure?
Chasing the Cure and Diagnosis are two big ones. You know, what they do, the concept behind that is the producers say, if I can have 1 million people watch this show, 1, 2, 3 of those million somewhere are going to have the same condition, and your doctor may not know about it, and we're going to discuss the condition, we're going to educate people about the condition, but we're also going to use their wisdom and their knowledge and their history to help have a diagnosis for the individual who's on the show.
Well, we should start doing it that way every Monday morning.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, big day for Apple. They're going to release their iPhone 11 and, you know, other toys and gadgets and stuff. What's Apple Health?
Yeah. You know, Apple's pretty smart. You know, they've taken all these apps and they say, you know what, let's put these health-related apps out there. And what Apple Health is doing is saying, hey, I'm going to take all the data points that all these apps are collecting, and instead of having me, the consumer, have to go to each individual one, here's my blood pressure one, here's my weight one, here's my diet one, Apple Health says, you collect them in all your apps, we'll be the clearinghouse, and we'll put them all at one place. So you'll be able to go to one site and see everything about your health. Great news for the individual. The scary thing is now is what are they going to do with that information now that it's out there and it is all consolidated in one area.
And do you see any downside with that?
I personally don't. You know, I look at people's health, and I'm not the conspiracy guy saying you're never going to be able to get health insurance. I'm more of, hey, let's make sure we can get the best health delivered to each individual as quickly, as easily as possible. And with Apple Health, patients now have some ownership. So now they're starting to say, okay, I'm going to track my cholesterol. I'm going to track what I weigh. I'm going to track my activity. Before, when you didn't do that and you put it on paper, it was nothing. Now people have ownership in their own health and are starting to do things to make themselves healthier, and I think it's good.
In the meantime, trust your doctor, kids, and be honest with them. You know, you can bring in all the information you want, but they're the ones that are educated. So get to your doctor and listen to them and do what they say. What do you want to say?
Yeah. Well, find a doctor you like, too.
I just had a quick question because I have a new doctor I'm going to see for the first time in 2 weeks.
Yeah, for you say a new doctor?
A new doctor. My physician retired. And so I have a new physician, and so I'm going to have my first physical with him in 2 weeks. What's the most important thing that I need to come out of there with or to bring to him?
And Dave, it's a question that's asked to me so many times. Hey, I need a new doctor. Who should I see? And you know, sometimes they just give you a doctor. But I usually ask people, okay, tell me what you want. Do you want a big group? Do you want a small group? Do you want an individual doctor? Are you one who wants to communicate frequently with them? You know, so for you going in there is saying, how comfortable do you feel? And I'm telling you, you'll know in the first 30 seconds how comfortable you're going to feel with somebody, with a
really?
Physician.
Especially
how well he communicates
nude.
With you and how he fulfills your needs. You know, do you expect to have your blood tests and your results back in communication with him, and he's going to be one who says, hey, if you don't hear from me, you know, everything's fine. You know, it's going to be what you want out of your doctor, and that's the most important thing.
Okay, thanks.
Dr. Kevin Most, available every Monday here because he's a swell guy like that. And, Doc, thanks for doing this as always, and we'll talk to you later on.
You got it. Take care, you guys.